locally owned and operated.
The American people are waiting. Have you a statement?
1230 The Voice is WXCO Wausau.
Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we continue going verse by verse through the book of Proverbs. And we come today to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, a false balance and a just weight refer to proper business practices, being fair, giving your customer what they paid for, not cheating them. And so what God is saying is that if you are a merchant, if you are in business, it's perfectly fine to charge whatever you want to charge for your product or your service. Just make sure you're upfront about it. Verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. God also says that pride goes before a fall. God has seven things on his hit list. I should say his hate list, not hit list, hate list. And number one on his hate list is a proud look, sinful pride. That is behind much sin, probably behind all sin. It is the sin that caused Satan to become Satan. It is the sin that caused Lucifer to fall and become the devil. He was puffed up with pride. People do things that are wrong in the eyes of God because they are puffed up with pride. They feel that they deserve it. They have such a wonderful self-image. They deserve to do what they want to do. They deserve to feel good, even though it might be something that God despises. So God says here about pride, when pride comes, then comes shame. And he also says pride goes before a fall. In other words, something always happens eventually to knock the prideful person down to size. And then, of course, afterwards, they are embarrassed. And they feel shame. If not in this life, then in the next life, for sure. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. It's wise to be lowly. It's wise to be meek and humble. If you're a simple, down-to-earth type person, and you are not trying to impress anyone, if you know your place before God, if you remember what you really deserve as a sinner who has offended your Creator, if you keep everything about yourself and God in proper perspective, then you're going to be genuinely humble. Doesn't mean you're going to walk around kicking yourself or telling everybody how lousy you are. That's not it. That can be false pride. It's just having a proper view of yourself in light of God. So if you're genuinely humble, then unlike a prideful person, you're not going to be embarrassed if you don't come across looking like a big shot. Difference does it make? Verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. If you allow God's moral law, His moral will found in Scripture to be your compass, then the Lord will guide you. Now, that doesn't mean that things will always go your way. But even when they don't, you will still have peace, knowing that God is with you. And that's worth an awful lot, especially when things aren't going well. And so it says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. If you go along with your sinful desires instead of what the Bible says, then you and often those close to you will experience trouble as a result. Like a crooked building falls, a crooked life lived in sin rather than following the righteousness of the Word of God will result in destruction. Verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. In other words, they're not going to do you one bit of good come judgment day. I don't care how much money you have. You can have multiplied billions of dollars and it's not going to do you one bit of good, because the moment you die, you're flat broke. Everybody enters eternity broke with no influence. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Riches cannot keep anyone out of hell. Not even a billionaire. If one rejects Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter how much money they have when they're here on earth. It's not going to do them one bit of good on the day of judgment. 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own lust. Sin is a trap. The sin of wicked people ensnares them. It traps them. It destroys their lives in many ways. And sometimes it snuffs out their life. Sin is enticing at first. It's an opportunity to satisfy your desires. Then you go for it, and all of a sudden you realize that you can't control it, that it is controlling you. And even though it is destroying you, you can't quit. Not without the power of God, you can't quit. You have to cry out to the Lord, God, take control of my life. Save me from this miserable sin. I can't stand it anymore. Deliver me in Jesus' name. God can break the power of any sin. We overcome evil by doing good. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And that would include any sin. But sin is a trap. And it is amazing and frightful that once a sin traps a person, they're not going to quit. They're not going to give it up. They can't give it up till the Lord God Almighty steps in. And until a person wants that, it's not going to happen. Verse 7. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perishes. When the wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish. When the coffin lid of the wicked slams shut, all his plans and dreams and desires are gone forever. Forever. Meaning this, the things that he lived for are gone. And he shall never experience joy, never experience hope, never experience happiness, never experience comfort ever again. When the wicked man dies, that's it. Any good times that he ever had are gone. Because he's going to be in hell forever. Jesus said, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked comes in his stead. In the end, God's people will be happy. In the end, the wicked, Christ-rejecting sinners of the world will have an eternity of trouble, an eternity of hell. Eternity has a way of evening everything out. It evens everything out. Verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. There are people who can very subtly twist the truth. Very skillfully mislead others and hurt them as a result. But I'll tell you something, they don't stand a chance against you if you know the Bible. The more you understand God's Word, the easier it'll be for you to detect even the slightest errors. You may not know exactly where the error is. Something just won't sit right with you, and you'll reject it. Discernment comes. And protection comes when we are filled with the knowledge of God through His Holy Word. Verse 10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. And the righteous prospering and the wicked perishing both indicate the same thing. It means that evil isn't being tolerated, and therefore good is allowed to flourish. And that, of course, makes for a happy environment for good people. Verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. You can't have a nice atmosphere or a pleasant society when deceit and broken promises and profanity are more the rule than the exception. Verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. He says, he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. In other words, belittles his neighbor, puts his neighbor down. And someone who belittles others is a fool in the eyes of God. Deriding, I suppose, is the opposite of applauding. As some people, instead of applauding the good that people do, instead of pointing out the positive things that people do, they continually point out the imperfections of others. And then to make matters worse, they follow it up with mocking. That person's a fool in the eyes of God. And he's not mentally deficient, he's spiritually deficient. And of course, pointing out the imperfections of others, mocking them, all that does is cause hurt and invites arguing. But worst of all, it's offensive to God, who of course would never do that sort of thing. 12 again. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Man of understanding holds his peace. In other words, if you can't say something constructive, whether it be constructive criticism or praise, then by all means, don't go the opposite direction and deride. If you can't help by your words, then just don't say anything at all. What's the point? You're just creating problems for yourself. Problems between you and God, if that's the case. Time for a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. If you're beginning to formulate your New Year's resolutions for 2012, here's one that would be good for us all to adopt. I will not use time or words carelessly because I know that neither can be retrieved. Time, once spent, is gone. Words spoken and received by others cannot be retrieved. Time and the ability to communicate are precious gifts from God. They are gifts that can be used for so many wonderful things. And as we all know, they can also be used for things that are destructive and hurtful. Not only can we not retrieve them, they may be offensive to our loving God. I pray that I may be able, with God's help, to use time and words carefully in the new year. And I pray that this is your prayer, too. This is By the Way.
That is exactly what I was talking about. I had no idea he was going to say that today. But he basically said the exact thing that I said about words and how they can be offensive to God if they are words that are not helpful to others and rather harmful to others instead. So, anyway, you're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry, you can be by praying for us. We appreciate your prayers very much. That God would bless his word. Just offer that prayer to him, would you? That God would bless his word and feed people, and people would come to know the Lord through this ministry. That would be great. You can also be a part of this ministry by your financial support. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thanks. Now back to our study in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. God says, a talebearer reveals secrets. Stop there for a second. You don't want to confide in a gossip, because they talk about everything they know and a lot of things they don't know. They just like to talk, especially about other people. And you want to stay away from people like that. God says, what you tell them in secret will soon become known to others. And so he says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. A good friend will listen, but they won't talk about what they heard. A good friend does not gossip. A good friend will pray, and a good friend will care, but they will never spread embarrassing information about you. 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know what? God has designed man to be led by men. God has designed man to be led by men who are led by God. When that's not happening, whether it's a nation, a family, a business, whatever, there's going to be problems. Problems that otherwise would not be there. Here's some practical advice from God. Verse 15, he that is surety for a stranger shall suffer for it. And he that hates being surety is secure. It's talking about co-signing for a loan. Be careful who you co-sign for. Don't jump into something like that. That's God's advice to us. See, God doesn't want us to to be stuck with a bill that we didn't run up. God is a very practical God. You know, he concerns himself with the things that involve our immortal soul and that will affect us for all eternity. But he's also concerned about these earthly matters, these everyday matters, our money, our health. Verse 14. Actually, verse 16. A gracious woman retains honor, and strong men retain riches. You know, both men and God have high regard for ladies who are ladylike. Of course, a woman can draw attention to herself by the way she dresses or by the way she acts. But a godly spirit is what God will cause God to honor her. And a godly spirit is going to draw godly men to her as well. Verse 17. The merciful man does good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. I read about an article. This was a few years back. It was an article in the British Medical Journal that said that there isn't a tissue in the human body that isn't affected by the human spirit. In other words, our soul, our spirit, is connected to our body in some way. God said it before there were any medical journals. If you are kind, it's going to have a positive effect on you, even physically. If you are cruel, you're going to hurt yourself physically in some way. Verse 18. The wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. A wicked person may get rich quick, but their wages are deceptive because they won't provide the satisfaction that they thought that they would. Like eating cotton candy. There's nothing there. It just kind of disappears. Verse 9. As righteousness leads to life, so he that pursues evil pursues it to his own death. It's really very simple. Every human being is on one of two roads: the road to heaven or the road to hell. Eternal life is for those whose faith in Christ leads them to good works. Eternal hell is for those who reject Jesus and show it by their pursuit of evil. Verse 20. They that are of a perverse heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. God hates insincerity. A perverse, dishonest heart. Unfortunately, I suppose we could call it the heart of a politician. Not all politicians, but you know what I'm talking about. It's talking about a person that never really says what they mean. Insincerity is hated by God. It is so unlike him. God is very clear about what he says is right and wrong. We know where God stands. He says what he means. 21. Though they join hand to hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous shall be delivered. Though they join hand to hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. No matter how well off the wicked may be, no matter how powerful they may be when they join forces, for them, the worst is yet to come. If not in this life, then in eternity. Meanwhile, no matter how bad things may become for a Christian, the best is yet to come. 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who is without discretion. A gold ring is a very pretty thing, right? A beautiful jewel, that's very nice looking. You put it in a swine's nose? That's ugly. And God says a beautiful woman who's beautiful physically but isn't godly, she's like a beautiful jewel in a swine's nose. You know, the one kind of overrides the other one, doesn't it? 23. The desire of the righteous is only good. Righteous people desire good and strive for good, and in the end they get good, because good will always triumph over bad. In the end. That's why if you live for Jesus, you can't lose if you don't quit. 23 again. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The wicked strive to do evil, and they want to see evil, and in the end, that's what they get in the form of God's punishment. 24. There is one that scatters and yet increases, and there is one that withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. In other words, God says if you'll get more by being generous than by being stingy. He says you get rich by being generous. You grow poor by hoarding. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made rich, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Are you feeling stale? Are you feeling stagnant? Are you feeling sad? God has the answer. Go help someone. Do an act of kindness for someone, and the Holy Spirit will snap you out of your sadness. If you need to be refreshed, go refresh someone else. Lose your self-focus. Have a God focus. Have an others focus. You'll be much happier. 26. He that withholds grain, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. And this is talking about a greedy person who won't market his grain even when food is scarce. He keeps it off the market in order to drive up the price. That is something that God hates, because I'll tell you why. God gifts people to be businessmen and businesswomen, not just to make money, and certainly not to be greedy. But it's like anything else. Business sense is a gift from God, and should be used as a means to make this world a better place, as well as earn a living. 27. He that diligently seeks good procures favor, but he that seeks evil, it shall come unto him. And this is the old principle of reaping what you sow. If you want to be blessed, then you have to be a blessing. If you want to be treated well, then treat others well. And this is probably a good time for me to stop. Questions, comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. If you would rather email me, you can do that. I can be emailed at versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Your questions, your comments, your prayer requests are always welcome. If you would like to study the Word of God further, there's the Scripture Verse by Verse website that's there for your use, for your spiritual growth, for your enjoyment. You can study the entire Bible online. I've taught through the entire Bible, verse by verse, more than once, which shouldn't be surprising since I've been doing this for almost 30 years. But you can go there to the Scripture Verse by Verse website, pick the book of the Bible you want to study, the chapter, the section, and follow along verse by verse with my audio messages. Also, I'm preparing written commentaries, which are being uploaded on a weekly basis, I would say. So you can check those out as well. If you're looking for, well, I better tell you the address. It's the Bible versebyverse.com. That's the Bible versebyverse.com. And if you're looking for a place to worship, come and join us this Sunday. 10 o'clock. Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Until next week. So long, everyone.